Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Overcome is such a great word. Overcomer instead of being overcome. And the scripture says that if we're born of God, we are overcomers, and that the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. So you can't be an overcomer without faith. It's just two completely different ways of living. Living by faith is seeing the answer instead of focusing on the problem. It is focusing on God instead of focusing on the need or on yourself. It is speaking victory instead of defeat. It is speaking provision instead of how many bills you got. It is talking about being healed and finishing your life regardless of how many symptoms you got. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. It's a different way. And can you see that is not the weakling's response?
No.
The weakling's response, spiritual weakling, is to go, everything's bad. I can't help it. It's, you know, I just want to sit around and cry. And it's, well, you may feel that way. And in this world, there can be issues. But faith won't just lay down and quit.
Amen.
It just won't.
Amen.
Faith believes
yes.
that no matter how tough it may be,
yes.
God is still bigger.
Yes.
And He's greater.
Yes.
And He's faithful.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And the Holy Spirit in me
yes.
is greater and bigger
Amen.
Than anything I'm dealing with. And there is a way out.
Amen.
And there is a way through.
Yes.
And you can be healed.
Yes.
And you can pay your bills.
Yes.
And you can get caught up and get ahead.
Yes.
You can.
Yes.
You can win.
Yes.
You can overcome.
Yes.
Somebody say, I am
an overcomer.
In God.
In God.
In Christ.
In Christ.
I am more than a conqueror.
More than a conqueror.
Through Him who loves me.
Through Him who loves me.
Father, we decree it. We declare it. We thank You for it. We say it is so. It is true. And the truth makes us free. We ask for direction and utterance and guiding and help for today. Ears and hearts and eyes that see and hear and understand for answers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Said out loud, I'm strong in the Lord.
I'm strong in the Lord.
And in the power of His might.
And in the power of His might.
Amen. That's got nothing to do with how you feel.
Right.
Truth is bigger than how you feel.
Amen.
We've been for a number of weeks now in our series that we're calling Faith for Provision. In this life, you need some things. Every day of your life, you need clothes to wear, food to eat, place to sleep, way to get around. If you got family, you need a lot more stuff.
Yes.
If you got a business, you need even more stuff,
yes.
right?
Yes.
If you got a church, ministry, you need more stuff. You need money and things. Is it God's will for us to have all that we need?
Yes, it is.
We are declaring that abundant provision is always God's will for us all.
Yes.
That's a big statement. That's an all-encompassing statement. You heard always, all,
yes.
all. Say it out loud. See how it feels for you. Abundant provision.
Abundant provision.
Is always.
Is always.
God's will.
God's will.
For us all.
For us all.
Now the question of God's will is something that people struggle with. Sadly, a lot of people have made decisions what they believe about the will of God on something other than the Word of God. Many people believe that everything that happens, anything that happens, is the will of God. That It can't happen unless it's the will of God. And if it happened, good, bad, whatever, understand it or don't, it's somehow the mysterious will of God. This is not true. This is not the Bible. This is not Scripture. Do you remember what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is actually the Lord teaching His disciples and us to pray? Remember the very first thing that He starts off with? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Then what? Your kingdom come. What? Your will be done where? In earth as it is in heaven. Does God have two different wills? One for heaven, one for earth? No. Will. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, if, as some people teach, preach, imply, everything that's happening is the will of God, then I don't understand that prayer.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Why do I need to pray that the will of God would be done when nothing happens except the will of God?
Right.
When everything that happens is the will of God. Why do I need to pray that the will of God would be done in the earth? Because by and large, it is not being done.
That's right.
Hmm?
That's right.
By contrast, in heaven, is the will of God being done?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. In its entirety. And what's God's will? That earth be like heaven, where His will is concerned. And ultimately, that will be completely true and fulfilled. But even now, in the midst of this time, when there's the devil is the god of this world and all the curse and stuff is going on, we can experience days of heaven on the earth. Oh, it won't be heaven, but we can have some taste of heaven, some experiences of heaven. Huh?
Yes.
Even days that we go, now that was heavenly, right?
Yes.
That was a heavenly day, right?
Yes.
That was a glorious day and time. And of course, you'll come back to a rude awakening of the devil trying to do something. And then you'll deal with that. But then we can have another taste of heaven, right?
Yes, sir.
A taste of heaven to go to heaven in.
Yeah.
But realize that so much of what is going on in this world, in this earth, is not God's will, does not please Him, is not His plan. Now, I know people have problem with that. They choke on that. And the reason being is because they don't know the Word well, and they've accepted people's religious traditional teaching that has made the Word of none effect in their life. Back to the statement. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Every day, every night, every time, everywhere. Really? What makes me say that? Well, to start with, 30. 30. Huh? The Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses. We're talking about 30 scriptural truths that are backed by multiple scriptures on each one. We're on reason number 18 in our study, and we're now on part 5 of reason 18. Which means we're not lacking for scriptures on this.
Right?
That's why we say it. Not my theory, not somebody else's, not my opinion. It is written. And if you respect God, you respect His Word. If you don't respect the Bible, then no matter what you say, you don't know God. And you don't respect God because He has exalted His Word above His name. You can't ignore the Word, mock the Word, reject the Word, and know God and love God. Those two are completely incompatible. If you love God, you love His Word. If you hadn't done it before, read Psalm 119 sometime and just take time. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. It's a bunch of it. But every verse is about how much the writer is saying he loves the Word of God.
Amen.
Every verse. And you can see that's how he loves God. And you know, David, it was said of him, a man after God's own heart, a man that loved God, and a man that would do the will of God. Loved His Word. Somebody said out loud, I love His Word.
I love His Word.
All His words.
All His words.
Now go with me, if you would, to Psalm. We're talking about the Psalms. And this is actually close by, Psalm 125. Psalm 125. On yesterday's class, we talked about a little bit that the curse causeless shall not come. And that was Proverbs 26 and 2. That the curse, he said it's like a bird flying around that doesn't have a place to light, doesn't have a place to land. The curse must have a place to land. What gives it that place? Do you know the scripture said in the New Testament, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him a place. Now, that's Ephesians. He's writing Ephesians and James, if you look both of them together, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. He's writing to New Testament believers who are just like us. Can the devil have a place where he can work in the Christian's life, in the believer's life? Well, why would he tell you don't give him a place?
Right?
And these were born again, tongue-talking people, the church at Ephesus. And he's telling them, don't give the devil any space, any place. Don't give him a place to land.
Yeah. Right.
Don't give him a place to light. Mm-hmm. Well, people are giving him place. Mm-hmm. And if we examined our lives real closely, we've given place.
Yes.
At times past. A lot of times through ignorance. And then also just through not listening,
mm-hmm.
through not heeding what the Lord said. But that scripture said in Proverbs that the curse won't be able to land and light and stay, we could say stay and work, unless there's a place for it to, unless there's a cause. Now in Psalm, you got Psalm 37. Before you read that, I'm going to read something else. In Isaiah, leading up to that, Isaiah 3:10, you can just hold your place and I'll read it to you. But he said, Isaiah 3:10, say to the righteous, it shall be well with him. They'll eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, it will be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. And we read earlier in Proverbs, yesterday's message, that the curse is in the house of the wicked. But the blessing is in the habitation of the just,
yes.
The proverb said. Would it be right for the blessing to be in the house of the wicked?
No.
Huh?
No.
Is it right for the curse to be in the house of the just?
No.
No, that's not right. That wouldn't be right. Now, why is it necessary to talk about this? Because there are millions of church-going people who will tell you that something that's happened in their life or in somebody else's life, a believer's life, that the Bible very clearly calls a curse. And they'll try to tell you that it's the mysterious will of God, that God put it there, that God put the curse in the house of the one that should be blessed. This is confusing because it's inconsistent because it's not true.
That's right.
Yes. Not true. Listen to Psalm 37 and verse 22. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The blessing that's working in our life now, some of its ultimate work is for us to inherit the earth and have our part in the new heaven and new earth wherein is no curse, and to rule and reign in the eternal kingdom of God as kings and priests. Is that a blessing?
Yes.
What a blessing.
Yes.
What a privilege.
Yes.
What an honor. What a place. And he says the blessing versus the cursed will be cut off. Then notice verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Well, is the Lord ordering the steps of the wicked and the rebellious? Does he delight in the steps of the evil man?
No.
The wicked man?
No.
No. You'll hear people misquoting scriptures. And one of the things, we talked about this several lessons back, about doctrines of demons, teachings of the devil. And one of the things that the devil does, he calls good bad. And he calls bad good. And he puts light for darkness and darkness for light. And he comes across like it's you have to be above average intelligence to understand how complicated this is and how complex it is, because it could look real bad, but it could actually be a blessing in disguise. These are doctrines of demons. These are teachings of the devil. And people think they're so smart propagating it, and they're actually fools. And they have allowed these teachings that men have come up with to make the Word of God of no effect in their lives.
Right.
No, he said, the steps of the good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Then he says, I've been young, and now I'm old. I have not seen the righteous. Now you got to go back to verse 22. The righteous are the blessed.
Yes.
Right?
Right?
I have not seen the righteous, the blessed, forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He's merciful and lends. His seed is
blessed.
Yes. Is it right for the righteous to do without?
No.
And to wind up begging?
No.
That's contrary to what God has said. That's not his way. That's not his will. He goes on to say, depart from evil and do good, and you'll dwell forevermore. Like he said, blessed of him, you'll inherit the earth. For the Lord loves judgment and forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. I know maybe I sound repetitive on this, but there's a reason why. God's will is blessing. Never cursing. And the blessing is never a curse. And the curse is never a blessing. And if the Bible has ever identified it as a blessing, that's God's will for you. You don't have to pray and fast and say, is it God's will? It's God's will. Blessing is God's will. Is abundance blessing? Then that's why I say we are sure.
Yes.
Abundant provision is always God's will.
Yes.
Why? It's been revealed as God's will and blessing for his people that will believe him and listen to him and follow him. If it's ever been identified as a curse, what else do we know? Don't try to tell me that it could be God's will. If it's a curse, there is no way it's God's will for anybody. Even when it comes on the wicked and destroys them, that still does not please God. It doesn't please him. He said to, you know, in Ezekiel, he talks about this. He said, do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked? He said, no. He said, I have no pleasure. And he said, why will you die? Repent and live. Right? God doesn't, he's not willing that any should perish or be destroyed, and yet they are. Why? Because it's not his choice. He won't make you trust him. He won't force you to believe him, and he won't force you to listen to him or follow him. And if you won't do that, the curse is already in the earth. It's already working, and it is killing, stealing, and destroying. It's working everywhere in the lives of those who don't trust God. Sadly, it's working in the lives of a lot of church-going people who don't believe they're redeemed, who haven't seen it, or they, you know, they hear folks like me and go, oh, that just sounds too extreme. I don't know about all that. And they go back to their religious tradition. that they're comfortable with, that they've heard for generations, not realizing this stuff is contradicting God, contradicting what He said. Say it out loud. If it's a blessing,
it's God's will
for me.
If it's a curse,
it could never be
God's will for me.
Never. And we saw in detail, looking in Leviticus 26, looking in Deuteronomy 28, where he goes through and mentions specific things that not having enough, being the tail, being beneath, being oppressed, your crops failing, disease wiping out your herds, drought destroying everything you have, your enemies coming and stealing from you. He went on and on and on, covering every material financial situation is part of the curse of the law. Yeah. What's the good news? According to Deuteronomy 28, that's part of the curse of the law. According to Galatians 3:13, I've been redeemed from the curse of the law so that the blessing of Abraham would come on me through my faith in Jesus. Look in, just reviewing Psalm 27 now, verse 25. If you are blessed and it's God's will for you to be blessed, should you ever be begging for something to eat? He said, no, I've never seen the righteous, which is the blessed, referring back to verse 22. And he says it again in verse 26, the blessed forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. If we are in a situation where, as believers, where we are in poverty, we are in lack, we're begging for something, things have gone wrong somewhere, big time. This is not the will of God. Oh, maybe God's teaching you something through. Not the will of God. It's time to repent. It's time to seek God. It's time to pray and fast and say, God, what went wrong here? Remind me of what you said. Show me what to do. Why? Because the curse found a place to light. Can you see that? The devil found a place of access to work in your life. A lot of times it's because of ignorance. The things we're talking about right now, huge portions of the body of Christ haven't never heard it. And some that have heard it, they don't believe it. Well, then you won't experience the full blessing, and you will experience curse.
Yes.
And you have to make up your own mind, but you know, I decided I don't like to curse. I don't want to curse. Huh? I live in a curse-free zone.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes.
My house?
Yes.
My spouse?
Yes.
My church?
Yes,
our ministry?
Yes.
Our staff? Our people?
Yes.
Our faith school? This is a blessed faith school. I'm telling you, all our needs are met. We have more than enough.
Yes,
sir. That's why we can just keep going and keep preaching this and shouting about this. This is a blessed place. And it's not cursing that's coming out of here and going through the camera and going all over. It's blessing. Blessing. Did you hear me, brother? Did you hear me, sister? The blessing of the Lord is on you. On you. On you. Come on, lift your hands and say, the blessing of the Lord
is on me.
Hallelujah. Blessing of the Lord is on me. And you want to say what we've been reading from these passages in Deuteronomy. Put it in your mouth. And when you leave the house, you go, I'm blessed when I leave.
Yes.
I'm blessed when I go out.
Yes.
I'm blessed when I come back in.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And in your business, in your work, in your school, in your ministry, everything I put my hand to is blessed and prosperous and goes. And goes good. Your investments. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Your investments. We talked recently about farmers and ranchers or financial people.
Yes.
You don't need to say, well, you know, we'll see the economy is this and the government's that and the Thou is this and the other is that, and you're walking beside.
Yes.
Hmm? There's another way to live.
Yes.
It's by faith. Faith calls those things that be not yet. As though they already were. And faith agrees with God and calls it. You need to say, my investments are blessed. My savings are blessed. My business is blessed. Huh? Pastors, preachers. My church is blessed. My congregation is blessed. My meetings are blessed. My outreaches are blessed. 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 Not cursed. Blessed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. you know, things that people believe about these things. Some, you know, even Christian people sometimes, you mention the word curse, you'll see them kind of cringe. You're like, you know, that sounds like a superstition to them. And even the word blessed. The word blessed in many places has been reduced to a sneeze response.
Yeah.
Right? My sneeze. Or come. Oh, God bless you. Were you trying to bless them?
No.
Mm-mm. Well, I was making a request. Probably you were just knee-jerk saying something.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Trying to be cordial and nice.
Right.
Polite. No, blessing is real. And cursing is real. And if you read the book of Hebrews, you'll see that the patriarchs, they spoke blessing over their children. And they spoke blessing over their people and their things. Even as a young man, I got a hold of this. My grandmother was a godly woman, and she was getting older. And the Lord brought this to me, and I just asked her one day, I said, would you pray over me to bless me? Oh, man, her eyes filled with tears. Of happy tears, and she reached over and laid hands on me and started praying, and I felt the presence of God. I thought, whoo, glory to God. Man, I'm glad I asked about this. And she spoke blessing over me, and that I would do well, and I would go far, and I would succeed. Hallelujah. This shouldn't be a foreign thing in the house of the believer. Huh? In the household of faith, this should be the way we think, the way we talk, the way we live. Hallelujah. Our time's up again, but say it out loud. I am blessed.
I am blessed.
Everything I have is blessed.
Everything
I touch is blessed.
Because the Lord
has blessed me.
Well,
we'll see you again soon back here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390